sitting on the old Santa Fe Trail, Shawnee Mission was originally a mission for Native Americans. The story of these missions is a tale of clashing cultural perspectives. One side sees brave, compassionate missionaries who sacrificed to provide Native people with a better life through Christianity. But in the eyes of many indigenous people, forcibly removing Native Americans from their land and resettling them in Kansas colonies was a cultural genocide. An upcoming talk at Shawnee Town focuses on this historical period. Susan caught up with Ty Edwards, a professor at Johnson County Community College, to learn more about it.
Shawnee Mission is part of the larger, broader context of missionization in America. Shawnee Mission in particular was a mission for a removed population, so Native people that had lived in the Old Northwest that were forcibly removed to Kansas as a way to open up their land to American settlement and American development. This was extremely difficult for the Shawnee people moving to Kansas, and it was difficult for the Native people that already lived here, having new neighbors, having to share resources, and learning to get along with one another in this place. And then, of course, missionization, as we talked about, the Shawnee Mission is a place of attempting to convert Native peoples, and it's an attempt to forcibly convert them to a way of life that's foreign in many ways to them and that they're not necessarily choosing. And so that is a complicated process. People resist it. It can be violent and it can be brutal. And it's an important part of Kansas's history.
Shawnee Indians in this area, along with many other eastern tribes, were moved to present-day Kansas in the 1800s. What was it like for the Indians that were relocated here?
Well, removal was always a very brutal process. It meant abandoning homeland, home communities, and in particular remains of the deceased, and it often involved poverty and suffering en route and poverty and suffering when arrived. And that was all to open up land for American settlers in homeland, which for Shawnees and others was places like the Old Northwest, including Indiana, Ohio, and Illinois. So it was a brutal experience.
What was the motivation for starting missions in the first place?
Well, the whole process of acquiring Native land was justified because civilization was viewed, of course, the United States and European nations had the paramount civilizations of the time, and Native peoples were viewed as savages who needed to be converted to the ways of modern civilization. So although they might be resistant to this, the United States and Europeans before them, of course, too, were going to forcibly provide the teachings of civilization to Natives, and this involved missions, and Christianity is a big part of that.
So when you say civilization, what did civilization actually mean?
Well, civilization meant democratic governing institutions. It meant a Christian religious belief. It meant a Christian European standard of gender division. So women in domestic roles, men as farmers and other outside of the home roles. And also things like dividing a family up into nuclear family units rather than clan identities and larger communities. And those are the things that needed to be changed about Native life. Private property ownership, too, is a big part of that.
So several religious groups were actually involved in this missionization process. What were some of them?
That's very true. Catholic denominations were involved, including foreign immigrants from various European nations coming to be part of Catholic missions. And then Protestant denominations all across the country also were involved in missionization for Natives.
So not that there's a typical profile, but if there were a typical profile of a missionary back then, what would they tend to look like?
Well, it definitely depended on if you were a Catholic missionary or a Protestant missionary. If you were a Catholic missionary, it was usually priests and nuns. So they came as individuals or part of groups of priests and nuns. Whereas if you were a Protestant missionary, you often came as your entire family. So a minister and his wife and his children would be all part of their mission work together. So depending on your Christianity, you came as family units or sometimes you came as individuals.
Now, there were also a number of tribes involved in missionization. Did the way they run the mission have anything to do with the tribes involved, or was it a one-size-fit-all kind of?
Well, there was always diversity, of course, because of the differences in tribal experiences and their locations. But there was an overwhelming similarity in goals to make, in particular, women who had been the primary farmers in Native communities stop being the farmers, make men become the farmers, have them live in nuclear family households separated from one another in sort of individual farmsteads, as we would think of them. And that was sort of the main goal. And then, of course, teach Christian values.
Were there examples back then of resistance to missionization?
Certainly. For example, some Native people that continued to hunt and gather would often spend significant amounts of time away from the mission during the year. And the further you were away from the mission, then the less influence they had on your life. And Native peoples knew that they could use that as sometimes an excuse to get away from missionaries and a way to preserve culture. And then also missionaries frequently attempted to open schools for Native kids. They thought that adults would be harder to change and children would be easier to change. So another way that Native people frequently resisted was taking their children from the schools or never sending their kids to the schools in the first place. And sometimes they would use the schools as a place for their kids to learn English. And then once that was accomplished, then the children didn't need to go to school anymore and they would abandon the education system.
Were there any other prominent missions in our area that you can talk about?
Yeah, for example, the one that I do a lot of my research on is the Osage Mission, which is in southeast Kansas. But it was a Catholic mission, so it had a lot of those sort of characteristics in terms of having several single priests and a lot of nuns that came to educate the children and change culture. But missions were widespread in Kansas because Kansas was actually originally part of Indian Territory. We usually assume Indian Territory was just what is now present-day Oklahoma, but Kansas and parts of Nebraska were all part of original Indian Territory, and each Native nation had some kind of civilization missionary attempt inside of it, sometimes combined. Potawatomis had missions, Kickapoos had missions. All of the Native nations that eventually moved to Kansas would experience missionization.
When I read about missionaries, I mean, I read about people who were really lauded in their time for doing a good thing.
Missionaries definitely believed that they were performing both man's and God's work, all right? So they were helping Native people to come to the gospel and change their ways that were going to be required to survive in the modern world. A lot of people believed that indigenous populations were going to go extinct. And so missionaries believed they were literally preserving human lives by providing access to modern technology, modern farming, and then, of course, in their minds, eternal life through Christianity. And it is true that a lot of missionaries endured enormous hardships for themselves and, in Protestant cases, their families, which was brutal for them, too. But what was the larger context is this was all part of a cultural assault on Native people. And it's all rooted in the view that Native people were savage and inferior and could not survive in society as they were, which of course was not necessarily true. However, in each instance, Native people and missionaries often did find ways to sort of coexist and find benefit from one another. Medical advice was something that missionaries could frequently provide to Native people and assistance in medical care because a lot of Native people, once they reached the missionization stage, were often brutalized by disease from poor diets and assaults from settlers and other things. And often missionaries, whether they knew it or not, acted as intermediaries between tribes and the government. And many Native peoples used their missionaries as ways to broker deals with the federal government that they might have had struggled to do without them.
So it was kind of a mixed bag. It sounds like some Indians may have felt, well, this could be a good thing and you know, I'm getting some benefits from this, but then others regarded it as a kind of a cultural genocide.
Certainly. And I think you have to say that regardless of what sort of cooperation they could find with one another, the overwhelming goal was cultural genocide. And the overwhelming impact of missionaries and the civilization program in general on Native communities in the United States was tremendous suffering and assault.
Now, you mentioned the Christian boarding schools that the Indian youth were sent because they could be shaped and molded. There are reports, for example, that those youth were not allowed to speak their language. They were punished or practicing Indian traditions. How much of that is borne out by the history?
A lot, particularly when we get to the boarding schools that emerge in the 1870s and well into the 20th century, the assaults on Native children were enormous. All kinds of assaults on their cultural views, such as cutting hair, violence towards kids who spoke their native language or practice any of their Native religious practices were intense. There is a lot of evidence of disease and inadequate medical care provided to the kids in these places, in boarding schools. There's a lot of imprisonment and harsh punishment. Jails were actually part of all of the boarding schools' designs when they were built, so it was a very strict environment. And suffering in boarding schools was intense for all the obvious reasons, but also separation from families. You learned your cultural views from your parents, and by being separated from them, this will sometimes separate children permanently and generations permanently from their cultural views they're not learning from parents and elders.
Now, as far as the practice of Native religion, how was that impacted by this whole missionization process?
Enormous. This is, of course, attempting to displace Native religious views with Christian religious views. And in many ways, Native people will attempt to compromise between those things. They will attempt to resist full abandonment of their Native religion, will attempt to merge it with Christian views that in some ways exist to the present in a lot of Native communities. But by so doing, by having Christian religious practices instead of Native religious practices, once you're not practicing those things, they have less and less significance in your life and less ability to teach them to your youth. So that has an ability to reorient the values of a community, reorient them from the things that had been the center of their previous religious beliefs into focusing on Christian and, in this case, American values for the most part.
Some theorists today say that one of the reasons that Native American communities have high rates of suicide and alcoholism, you can trace it back to this cultural genocide, that when you remove someone's culture, land, history, that it has impact for generations to come. How do you view that kind of thinking?
I think there's a lot of merit to that. And I think even beyond the cultural assault, by perpetrating the cultural assault, claiming that Natives are somehow savage or inferior and need to be taught civilization, you're also reiterating the message over and over that you're less than and you're unworthy. And in the United States, you're saying you're less than citizens who are Christians, and you are unworthy of full citizenship simply because you were born Native. So this is an assault on your identity and your culture, and makes people ashamed of who they are, which is certainly not what needs to be happening. So by committing this cultural genocide, you're creating problems long term by the whole undergirding belief is in inferiority.
But by talking about, you know, the problems with missionization, the impact it had on Indian communities, are there some people who say, oh, you're rewriting history, you're demonizing people who thought they were doing a good thing?
I think what you have to do is look at this from both sides. I definitely think missionaries thought that they were doing important work. And it's important to know that missionaries in the United States were part of a broader missionization attempt that was going on globally at the time. So they certainly weren't living in a vacuum. But you also have to know that, again, this is based on a hierarchy of civilizations and races, and the idea that Europeans and then American derivatives of that are the most civilized people, and everyone else must conform to be like them to be valuable members of humanity. And so by basing this on a hierarchy, you are committing an assault on people, and that comes at a price. And so I think you have to look at it both ways. Individual people that were part of this may have had good intentions, but they're buying into a view that's based on hierarchy and inferiority. And what this means for Native families and Native kids is an enormous suffering. And that suffering doesn't just go on those individuals. It goes on for generations, and it forces creative methods of resistance for people to preserve what they can in the face of that. So I think what we have to look at is not that this is a rewriting of history, but that this is looking at a variability of sources. And what is one person's success is sometimes another's failure and another's impoverishment and suffering. And so by looking at both of those sides, you can see both the intents and the outcomes of historical actions.
Ty Edwards, thank you for being with us on KC Currents.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Ty Edwards is assistant professor of history at Johnson County Community College. She'll be discussing Native American missionization in Kansas at Shawneetown on Tuesday evening. Find more details on the KC Currents page of our website at kcur.org.
After the break, a local poet explores the African roots of Mexico. This is KC Currents.